31st, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks, we are asking everyone to make a dua, a small prayer for our brother, Imam Musa Muslim Abui. He is the great-grandson of the Honorable Booker T. Washington. He's in the hospital. So we're asking Allah to bless our brother, to get well soon and return back to his family and his community. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, Seven Heavens, Prophet. Similar from the earth, Meslehuna, higher sensitivity created above willing obedience in man, inherent nature, then he becomes conscious. Seven major prophets, man is those in those graduations. Their sensitivity in man, then a conviction, God wants it to conform to a logic, truth, where sensitivity becomes a conviction. Reality with the external reality show them that the basis of their nature and sensitivity in the external world, their conviction, were so strong we see them outside of us. They are no more than expressions fulfilling themselves that God created in man, the inner potential of man finding its place in the external world. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, seven ways above and a light in the earth. Bukhari, Volume 1, 345, seven prophets, heaven. One, Adam, Jesus. Three, Joseph. Four, Idris. Five, Aaron. Six, Moses. Seven, Abraham. So the seven refers to the natural steps of growth that takes place in the conscience of the individual. They are seven major prophets in us. They lie asleep in us. The average person can't reach the potential that the great prophets achieve. God hasn't sent us leaders that we can't follow, because the leader he sends represents what is inborn and inherit, innate in us. Allah gives to every person nature, urge for excellence and social maturity. The one strained with the God, given direction in his nature, is the one Allah should make the leader for all the rest and for all time to come. Six, seven numbers. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayah 12, seven above and similar in the earth. Bukhari, page 4, 429. Seven heavens the prophet visited. 1 Samuel 2, 5, the barren has borne seven. They that will fall have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry cease. So that the barren has borne seven, and she that has nursed many children is wax fleable. 1 Samuel 1:20, Hannah versus Samuel. 1 Samuel 2:21, Hannah, 3 sons, 2 daughters. Revelation 13:18, the number of the beast is 666. So man-child is birth of mind of a prophet. So the birth of a prophet is the birth of an inspired person, a divinely inspired mind. And when this type of person is born in the society that never had one like that, in the old ancient society, they refer to that person as a birth of a male or man-child. But when they were saying man, they weren't referring to the flesh. They were referring to the mind, the man that God desires. When God says, I'm going to make man or make me a man. Hannah birthed Samuel. Hannah, 3 sons, 2 daughters. Hannah's child called Samuel. 7, not quantitatively, but 7 qualitatively. So that the mind that God desires for his human being is the thing that they are referring to in the book when they say that she gave birth to a man child. This Hannah, when you read this in Samuel, you will see that Hannah did not have 7 children. She didn't have any children. But Hannah finally gave birth to 1 child whose name is called Samuel. And when she gave birth to that child, she said, God now has given me 7 children. How now is it interpreted that 1 child is 7? 7 is a mystic and spiritual religious number, not meaning 7 quantitatively, but 7 qualitatively. So this child had developed of 7 rings of quality. He passed from one quality to another quality through 7, and now he's like 7 children, because there are many who come and they do not get but 1 of these. Here is 1 child with all 7. So his number is given 7, and she felt as though she had 7 children. Not that she had 7 physical children, but she had 1 inspired child. That society had 1 son amongst them, meaning 1 prophet, 1 enlightened person amongst them, who had the divine knowledge. And the knowledge is described as knowledge of 7, or God's knowledge. Eyes 7 looks for good, and 7 looks for bad. And we see this 7 in the early part of Genesis. So when God says that he made the heavens and the earth, the man and everything in the 6 days, and on the 7th day he rested. Again, we run into this when we read it in the Bible, that there are eyes that go throughout searching the earth. They are of 2 classifications. 1 are the eyes of the Lord. They are 7 that go out searching the earth to help the righteous. Those are struggling for righteousness, to build them up, to encourage them. And then there are 7 more that goes out to tear down. 666 means materialized in sciences, in senses, pardon me, moral and mind. So the number of the beast is 666. Now one of these 7 has to be fought. Both of them have the 7. So here is a society or group that has gotten into the divine society and has gotten the divine classification, but they are not doing the job of divine. They are doing the job of 6. And the book says, he who has wisdom, count the number of the beast, for his number is 666. He was not just 6 once or twice. He grew to be 6 3 times. His senses materialized. The senses are in the flesh. his mortal form materialized, and his mind materialized. So he was even in spirit materialized. So he was materialized in all of his three forms. Where is that beast? Right out here. The one who had only the one sixth has been dead a long time ago. Noah's flood killed him. But the one who was revived, he is still around here now, 666. And he is in the lake, and the lake is of fire. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, save your family from fire. The need for a hero Allah made our parents, children, used to take their trade from the father, the uncle, the relatives. Other people would pass down their skills and trade. That's how we had the great trade union. It's nothing but tradition that were established by parents, and now the unions have taken it and taken them over. So children don't have industrial cultural heroes, so they go to the gang for the style of life, leadership. Because there is no hero in the house anymore. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, save yourself and family from fire. The devil advises children now not to listen to parents or religious teaching and to make up their own minds. The result is that we have a rebellious and a defiant youth. God has put in the nature of the creature to believe the overwhelming majority, because in normal conditions, the majority is right. But at the end of the world, Satan created an unnatural situation and make the majority of his subjects. Satan says, you are your own judge. And by doing so, make the youth feel inferior or of subhuman intellect. So if that youth allows a parent or moral upright person who leads advice to that youth's life. The system says to the little girl, don't worry about obeying parents or religion. It gives out contraceptives to induce this behavior. Children who choose the world over parents who have worked hard to show them the right way should be rejected, put out after they are grown, keep them until they are grown, then put them out. Our parents in the South would do this. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, save yourself, family from fire. The Quran, Surah 11, 107, hell dwelled as long as heaven, earth exists. Bukhari, Volume 7, 717, hell comes out, La ilaha. So many people weep over some family member that has perhaps transgressed so far that the person has put themselves in hell. We don't have the power to pull out any dwellers of hell. The individuals make a change themselves. Hell is eternal conditional. The person can go to hell, but there is something good in the nature. Strong enough, it may be the factor for pulling that person out of hell one day. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayat 6, hell, fire, a blind passion into destructive nature, where fire is done with a thing, what is left. Smoke, where there is form, fire bends, twist changes the form. Human nature is the same way. If you let your desire, passion, go to the extreme where they become self-destructive, you are giving yourself to the fires of hell. Three-pronged fork. One, stick you in your passion. Flesh to pain your body. Another to pain your mind. To pain your spirit. The devil puts you in the fire of your own wild extremes. Passion, your unnatural love for things that you shouldn't love anyway. So the world is designed to throw you into the furnace of self-destruction and burn you up. with your own nature. You have the wildness in your nature. If you don't control it, it will burn you up. And when you love to the extreme and forget the moral right in your relationship, does hell last forever? What is forever for a human? Yes, for a disobedient, hell-bound soul, a loss is forever. In one place and in another says, for as long as hell wills. So it wills be forever to you. But Allah will eventually change everything. It all will perish except his faith. But according to your own mind and thinking, yes, it'll be forever. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, save yourself, family, from a fire. Family community. So the Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, save yourself and your family. Al-Hadith, page 307 and 100, Allah hand on group. Genesis 5:2, call them Adam. 1 Corinthians 12:12, Christ's body. Romans 12:4, Christ's body. Genesis 5:2, Adam single and plural. Support family, not individuals. Now we want to support families, neighborhoods, communities. And that means also supporting the individuals. Individuals are not outside of family or outside of community. The only way for the individual to live is inside of family or inside community. Don't have your program to help individuals unless you are a doctor or something that is different, administering medicine. You have them come by one by one. But if you want to help the social life, the community life of people, then help community life, and you will also help individuals because those individuals live in community. So usually the problem for the individual is the problem for his community. They don't exist separately. They are always together. If there is a big problem for us employing our youth today, that's not a problem of our youth. That is a problem of our community. Meeting with leaders in religion, Christian, Muslims, and Jews, and others, Buddhists. That's what most of them are saying, that we have to address, contribute to the betterment of the community. We have to address family life, and we have to serve the establishment of good families. I believe that is what God wanted us to do from the very beginning. God put our eyes on family and on human beings living in community. Adam, single and plural. Adam himself, if you understand scripture, very suddenly identifies Adam not as one man only. In one context of the scripture, Adam is identified as one man only. And in another content of the scripture, of the same book of the Genesis, Adam is identified as a plural person. He is seen as a person representing, depicting a figure, and then depicting a group, a community, people in great numbers, male and female. It says, he created God male and female, meaning that God created them and called them Adam in the day that he made them. So this is Genesis. I'm quoting. Now, how are we to understand that? Here is a man called Adam, and he was made one single person, but later God addresses him not as a single person, but as a plural body. And we have heard the term the Adamic people or the Adamic race, meaning that we are all of us are Adams. So Jesus, second Adam. So if you understand it, Jesus is supposed to be some Christian school of thought. He is presented as a second Adam. I've never gone to a seminary I've never gone to any Christian institution to be ordained a minister, but I feel like I can do a better job than most preachers that I hear in my neighborhood preaching. If I wanted to preach Christianity, I believe I would serve the gospel a little better than most of them. That's what I believe. Now, that's not my religion, so I'm not going to do that. And I respect those who are doing that. And I don't want to interfere with their work. And what I'm saying is, what preachers, if they are in the audience and know the Bible, they will all agree. Today would say, yes, he's correct. Call them at us. So Jesus comes in the Bible, peace be upon the prophet. And he also presents himself not as one person, but also as a plural body, member in Christ. That's what he said. You are members in Christ. So here are people now, seen as Christ's body, same as it was for Adam. So the same idea or the same logic that is found in Genesis about the single person and the plural person, we find it also carried over into the New Testament, addressing Jesus as a sign, a single body, but also as a plural body, which tells me that God doesn't want us to get our mind off of ourselves as a society or as a community, but wants us to see ourselves as a community. Allah hand on group. They have an expression amongst the teachers of Islam. They learn and they say it is a saying of the prophet himself. It goes like this. It says, the control of God is on the community, the collective body of people. The control of God is on the collective body of people. Allah Jemaati. For those who speak Arabic, that's the control of God is on the collective body of people. And how do they explain what that means? How do they explain that? They explain that by saying that God holds all the people accountable, and he holds them accountable in society or in community life. That's how he holds you accountable. If you come out of community life and you say, oh, I don't want to belong to a society of human beings anymore. I want to be a recluse. I want to be a hermit. I want to be a saint living away from people. Well, you're taking yourself away from God's concern. That individualism is not God's concern. God's concern for human beings is to have them live together as families and communities, and to support each other for the betterment of their family, for the betterment of their community. This is what God wants from day one, family authority. The Quran, Surah 4, Ayah 35, marriage arbiter. The Quran, Surah 8, Ayah 75, family right. God wants us to live with our family in a family unit, family organization, to have respect for family authority. Family should have authority over family. Muslim law respects family authority. Says if we have a problem between husband and wife, God says get witnesses from her side of the family, and get witnesses if they can't settle the family affairs, the matters. Get witnesses from her side of the family and get witnesses from his side of the family and bring them together to solve the family problem. So here God respected family and the power of family to live in peace and preserve their peace and keep their peace. God respects the family authority, the family organization so much that it tells the leader in Islam, we can't impose our own judgment upon family. We have to bring the family together. We have to listen to what the family are saying. And if they want us to be with them in counsel, there is nothing in the Quran that says an imam has to be with them. They can meet together and solve their own problems. So here is a religion and that goes directly to the individual male and female and tell you how God wants you to run your life. And when the prophet told us of God, they say, this is a legitimate quote. I'm not sure, so I'm putting it as I see them, but I don't know if it's acceptable. It is a sound statement and stands upon now whether the prophet said it or not. I haven't searched the quotes enough to know that he really said this. But the authorities said he said it. That the control of God is on the collective body, on the group of people. So it means that he holds us individually responsible. We belong to a collective body. We belong to a family. Family members will be held individually responsible according to our religion. And I believe it's yours too. According to our religion, God holds the members of that family individually responsible. The father, if he's living, he will be held responsible for the things that he neglected, that he saw going wrong and wouldn't straighten up. If he saw the family needing help and wouldn't answer them, he's going to have to be held responsible. The mother, if she's neglecting, she's going to be held responsible. Children, don't think you are excused. If the child, the daughter, the son was in the family and didn't value the family and didn't respect the family interest, saw things hurting the family, and didn't answer the call of the family, those children will also be answerable to God. Even if they are minors, they will be answerable to their parents in this world and as minors, but when the judgment of God comes, they are going to be answerable to God for how they disrespected their family, how they disrespected their family interests, how they disrespected mama, how they disrespected daddy, how they disrespected the sisters or the brothers, how they disrespected the property of the family, how they disrespected the personal property of that their mamas entrusted them with. So God is going to hold them accountable for all of that. And I'm a student of the universe. I study nature and how things evolve. And believe me, I see a logic in the universe itself that tells me, yes, God is going to do that. So much for that. Human family, Adam. All of that is to say that this family is no small matter. Family is a big matter. So this whole world begins with a family. That's the belief of people who receive revelation from God by the way of the prophets. We believe that this whole world was populated by one family. That was the family of our first parent, Adam. Adam had a wife, a mate, and Adam and his mate produced the first children. And that was the first family, and that first family is what God created. And all of us have come from those procreators, those original parents of ours. All of us have come from them. So if all of us have come from them, then it's easy to understand the statement human family. All human beings are really one family. We are the family of the first parent, Adam, and the Christians say Eve. Adam and his mate. So we are all the descendants of Adam and his mate. And that was the first family according to Revelation, Bible, Quran, and the people of the book, Revelation that we identify with. You, that man, begins as one family on this earth, And all other families, all other nations, communities came out of that family. We say came out of that family, meaning we came from the orientation that God put that family on. But does that mean that we are really outside that family in terms of our genetic belongings? No. Genetically, we are still belong to one family, genetically. So we are Adam and the first father. We have his genes in us. Impossible for us to be otherwise. So his genes are in every one of us. His blood is in every one of us. His flesh is the flesh of every one of us. Impossible to believe otherwise. I said impossible to believe otherwise, if you accept revelation, if you accept Bible, Muslim, if you accept the Quran, then it is impossible to believe otherwise. So we want to talk more about family and community. I want to look at the neighborhood. So when I say community, I am thinking about neighbors. You know, neighborhood and ethnic communities, like African Americans. We live mostly together. When we live in Chicago from the African American community, African American ethnic community. Then you find the Polish people and Irish people and others. Now, we have a big number of the Arabs and the Indians from Asia living in Chicago. And in Chicago suburbs, they represent a big population too now. First, fastly growing population and a big one. So all of these are ethnic communities. We have so many ethnic communities in Chicago and in the West, California, some areas of California, that people are so mixed until it's stupid to think about your race. It's absolutely stupid because of just one. You're just like a little, you know, if you put pepper and salt and curry and all that, you know, about 20 spices, and you sprinkle it on something, and one little spice going to say I'm curry. Well, who cares? Who cares? When I eat, I don't even taste you. So many other spices here, it takes a scientist to identify you. So you know, food specialist to identify you. Yes. So who cares? And that's the way this America is becoming. Not only California, it's just examples to us of what is in it. Was it is a sign to us of what America is becoming. The Quran, Surah 67, Ayat 1-2. Allah, He created death and life. 40 Hadith, page 64, 17, seek excellence in everything. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayah 47, Immaculate Conception Jesus created from. Woman, Luke 1:25-35, Immaculate Conception. I would like to begin with a verse from a chapter in the Quran titled Mulk in Arabic. So this word is translated dominion by some translators, and some translators translated the kingdom. Some translated the rule. I would like to elaborate for just a second or two on the meaning of a mulk. Mulk means that the control over everything in existence, the skies and the earth and everything in existence, all lives included. The control belonged to God. The mulk belonged to God. I will now read the first verse from this chapter titled Mulk. The control over the universe, it says, blessed be he in whose power is the control over the universe. And he over all things has power. He who created death and life, that he may try which of you is best in work. Indeed, in Chicago, we have Rabbi Jesse Jackson. And he has formed sometime now has been pushing for excellence in the school, excellent education. His organization, as you know, was also called PUSH, P-U-S-H. Once, not so long ago, many a generations or so ago, all Americans believed in the excellence. All Americans were taught to believe in the excellence. In our homes, there was a belief in excellence seen in everything that was done in the home. The mother, she would cook for the excellence. She wanted her pies to taste the best, to be the best. She wanted the rice, the meat, the stew, whatever it was, the chicken and the dressing, whatever it was, she wanted it to be the best. She was a preacher of excellence. So the mother and the father wanted the children to have the best manners. They wanted them to have the best character. They were concerned with the quality of their children. America, as you know, used to preach excellence. American people were taught to uphold a high standard, quality life. If you perform a job, you were to perform it with the respect for excellence. You didn't just want to do a job. You wanted to do an American job. An American job meant a job that reflects the best skills, the best quality of work. There are a few companies around now that insist upon excellence, but even those companies have relaxed their rules. They tolerate a lot of cheap work, inferior work. We don't have to make any long study or any thorough examination of our lives today, of American life today, to see that America has fallen from her high concept of excellence, from the high principles and standards of life that we once as a nation struggled for, worked hard for, the problem that we have in our community life. Are problems that have come about because people are no more driven by principles and desire for excellence in their life. People are careless. People have no standard anymore. People have no fear anymore. People can't be shamed anymore. We have lost a good life, and we complain. Why should we complain so much? Is this what we want? Is this the life we want? We should be happy. We shouldn't complain so much. How can we have strong financial homes, strong financial communities when we are living the life of drunks, playboys, delinquents? We shouldn't explain. We shouldn't expect, we shouldn't expect strong homes, strong communities when we are living the life of drunks, reckless people, respecting no principles, fearing nothing, not even God. There is proof that we are dissatisfied with the life we have in the very fact that I am here today speaking to you on a subject that you have chosen, reconstruct family life. So this is concerning people to get the family life back. We know that we lost a good family life. The thing that we the thing that we want in the streets has to first be in the home. If we don't have the life we want at home, it's not going to be in the street. All of us, I believe, or we have realized that the streets aren't safe no more in most of the big cities. Not only the streets, even the homes aren't safe. They are without protection. That is, we spend a lot of money on elaborate security systems to protect the houses, on iron gates, iron bars, on the doors, iron bars, on the windows. Change the home and it will change the outer street. We lock ourselves up behind bars and we still feel unsafe. Most of us feel this, and most of us don't like it. But how can that ugly picture be changed before the street is changed? The street can't be changed without first the life in the home. you might say, well, I'm not one of those dangerous self-destructive elements in the community. We live in a decent house, and our home is safe and peaceful. Then it is your duty, in the face of the terrible things that are happening to our lives, to come out and help us. Battle to truth, battle to turn the life of the many around so that all of us can be peaceful and safe at home. The problem runs way back. It is a very ancient problem. And we are blindly facing the doom. That also goes way back, to which it is an ancient thing that comes around. When people without guidance try to manage their own affairs in a world of plenty. If we were living in the desert where there is nothing, we wouldn't have too much to worry about. But we live in modern cities where there's plenty of wealth, where people live very close to each other. Homes are stacked up on top of each other, almost. There are food within reach and distance that is not mine. Clothes that are in reach and distance that are not mine. Plenty of money within reach and distance that are not mine. Plenty of pretty girls within reach and distance that are not mine. So the life is very hard for us without having something that we respect. There has to be control in our life that we respect. That's the only way to exist. We read the history of great nations, Rome, Greece, and the Bible, Babylon, and Nineveh. We read how those great nations rose to their greatness, enjoyed great wealth and plenty of freedom. At the height of their prosperity or achievement, they started to die, fall down. Often it was no enemy army that came in there and attacked them. They defeated them. They just let go of everything and fell down. Dear beloved people, we have to turn this thing around, even if it's by force. Because if we don't turn it around, a small people will take over, or a great nation will take the whole country. How long do you think the world will sit quietly knowing that the American people are a pushover? If this silly, childish kind of mind continues to grow as it is growing, pretty soon we can't even depend on our army. The people who are there at the push button, pretty soon we won't even, in fact, now, I'm wondering, he might not hear the signal. He might be high. He doesn't know what he's doing on. He don't know what's going on. All we know is that the American people are degenerating. There is something retarding the community life of the American people. The family life is retarded. The city life of the cave. The leaders of government are desperate. Saying, what can we do? We don't have supporters. The material production can only be so much. Forces of destruction, your own thoughts of self. So in the better days, government tried to satisfy trouble spots with money. Now there is not enough money to satisfy trouble spots. So government leaders are desperate. What can we do? We don't have enough money to quiet the dangerous element. We can't buy these people away from the self-destruction. How can we manage our lives? They are desperate. How long do you think things can stay this way? Sometimes I think the people behind bars, the people that are serving time in jail, are better off than we are, because they at least have an opportunity to get away from destruction, their minds together again. So we are out here in the forces of destruction. You may say, Chief Imam, what is this What is destroying us? What are the forces of destruction? The mentality, the way you think. Those are the forces of destruction. Your own thoughts, you begin when you thought you were born. You were born in sin. It got worse when you thought you were born free. We have to get the life back together. Say, is there a way? Certainly there's a way. How can we are not able to do anything about our life? It's because we have never been given anything to work with. Say, well, how have we survived? How have we become the greatest nation on earth? A charge, a powerful charge. Anything that gets a charge has to be recharged. And when you run out of the recharge, you finish. Pretty soon, it's just like shooting black flag rope spring on bugs, on bed bugs or roaches. After a while, they don't feel it. You are spraying them, and you wonder how come those things aren't falling. They have gotten used to it. We have reached ourselves, pardon me, we have recharged ourselves so much or so many times until it doesn't affect us anymore. We have gotten used to it, and things have gotten worse, and you don't see the change producing results, the charge producing results. Why? Because the charge has lost its effect. Believe me, the charge has lost its effect because there is a diabolical, wicked mind planning the default of America, the downfall of America. People, not my downfall, not the African American's downfall, not the Muslim downfall, our downfall. I don't know if I was introduced properly or not, but I say some outrageous things, and I hope they will outrage you. Because that's what we need to be outraged. God, public, disrespect for God. Respect for God has been declining, declining, declining in America. Respect for God has declined so much in America now that to say God is to make people leave you. You want to have people walk out away from you? Just start acting like you really believe in God. I don't have time for that, man. He is wasting my time. Oh, he is offending me. Look, they compete with each other to see who is the boldest and playing highly over the respect for God. Don't you watch the TV shows? Don't you see how lightly they play with God on television? How lightly they play with God in the cartoon of the newspaper? How can we keep our life together if the media is going to play lightly with God? The Christian home should be protected first by God. Are you a Christian or what are you? If you are a Christian, shouldn't your home be protected first by God? And the next authority under God should be God's word. Whatever you lose, whenever you lose the fear of God, you should pick up God's word. And children should respect God's words. Husbands should respect God's words. But is that the American Christian life? No. You've lost the fear and the respect for Almighty God. Claim to be Christian. If we invite you to El Islam, you say, oh, I can't come. I'm a Christian. That's not the reason. You can't come because you are a nobody. And you don't want to be somebody. Everybody wants to go back now to nature, saying, let's go back to nature. Get me back to nature. Hey, baby, what you got there? Oh, I got a Butterfinger. You eat that mess? I don't eat that mess. Go down and get you a sesame seed candy bar. That Butterfinger will kill you, man. Hey, baby, you got any snort? Now, this is the same someone who won't eat the Butterfinger but he wants a snort of cocaine. Pitiful people. Sin now is more widespread than ever before. Sinless, reckless living is more widespread now than ever before. America's public have a death wish. The psychologist describing the personality, the problem in the personality of the American people is have a death wish, that American people are troubled with the death wish. They are really wishing for death. They want to die. Suicidal form of crucifix. Family-controlled children. Why do you want to die? Because something has been planted in your subconscious. You know that when there is no other way out, you've done all you could to handle the situation sensibly, that you should follow God. The last thing to do is crucify yourself. So you have reason. You've tried to live a life of sin, and that hasn't brought you happiness. So you say, well, the next thing to do is to kill ourselves, give up, commit suicide. When you don't check your child that you see is about to give his life to crime, who's tearing down your home and who's making problems for you, that are going to take you into court and make you pay money out of your pocket that you can't afford because your living standards now are at the bottom. When you let your children bring you down financially, morally, don't you know there is a suicide wish in you, which is in you? You've given up on life. A man who hasn't given up on life, if he see his child tearing the property down, putting himself in position to be arrested and taken to court, that man snatches his child back from that danger, saying, come here, son, I can't let you go that way. Mama used to look for her child. Now the child looks for the missing mama. I remember as a child hearing the mother, when the sun started to go down and it began to get dark a little bit outside, many times the street light hadn't come on. And it was just a normal thing to hear a voice calling out. Sometimes we could hear a voice from the other block saying, Johnny, Lisa, that was mama who cared about her children. Now, is Johnny and Lisa calling mama, 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 is out somewhere, and they don't know where she is. It's getting dark, and they don't know where their protection is coming from. We have to get the life back. The only answer for us is to get an intelligent grip on our life. People can't live by emotions. People can't live by sentiment charges. People have to live by light, the light of sense, the light of reason, the light of intelligence, light. That's the only way you can live. Masses addressed as child, elect, spoken to as adults. The only other way is to live by a charge, and that's not living. That's dreaming, daydreaming, or night dreaming. It's dreaming, church leadership, mosque leadership, synagogue leadership. All have been feeding the people pacifiers and holding the precious knowledge back, fearing that if the masses get the precious knowledge, the priest, the rabbi, and the imam will lose their precious position. America has to come to speak one language. That's the only way out. As long as America speaks to the general public with the tongue of children and speak to the select crew with the tongue of an adult, everything will continue to go down, 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 weaken, and fall apart. College tuition solve problems rationally, False religion says solve it with mysticism. Society's problem, symbolism in religion. The answer is this. America must put down storytelling to grown-ups. The worst story we told grown-ups are the story in religion. The only way to solve this problem is to make it clear. Truth knows in the public. We have to free the people from the monopoly that symbolizes and ignores have had on the mind of the masses for thousands of years. Scripture tells us, both Holy Quran and the Bible, tells us that the real problem of the world is darkness, and not physical darkness, but the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of the absence of knowledge. People have never been given knowledge. They have been given excuses. They have been given stories. They have their senses divided. So you go to school and to teach. You tackle a physical problem with rational sense. They teach you to tackle physical problems and problems of the physical nature with rational sense. But you leave the school and you go home or you go to the church. And they teach you to tackle human problems with mysticism, fairy tale. This is real problems. So we have to go to the textbooks. And we have to tell the children in their early grades and elementary grades and middle school and high school, they all have to be taught the simple truth about human life. Human beings must be given the knowledge that enables the individual to operate his own life in the light and not in the dark. Instead of telling people that we all descended from one individual called Adam, who was made from clay, model formed out of the earth, and breath was breathed into that clay model. And that clay model started walking and living as a human being, telling them that fairy tale life. Let's tell them the truth that the fairy tale hides. The fairy tale is the cloak covering up a real religion. Preachers, they are teaching truth. Immaculate conception is the will of man to submit to God. Immaculate conception Jesus created from woman. The Holy Quran says that God didn't reveal that it should be hid. He revealed it that it should be given openly and clearly. We have to stop telling people that man is born in sin. We have to separate the allegorical from the real in the Bible and let the people know that the Immaculate Conception is not the fresh body born body. The thing that is immaculate is the will in the individual to submit to the will of God. That's the Immaculate Conception, that a human being is born on this earth with an ability to submit his whole life, his whole will, his energy, his physical drive, even his sex drive. He is willing to submit it to God and say, God, I will use my sex as you instruct me to. I will use my physical powers, my mental powers, my energies of my mind and my soul as you instruct me to. That is the Immaculate Conception. Sex is to reproduce the higher self. Flesh has been used as something to speak through, to say something of people. Long ago, people lost truth that the thing that is being spoken through is not the real thing. It's the idea embodied in the thing and not the thing. Procreate, or to spend our bodies on this earth. We have to mate with a family, and male has to give something of himself, his vital life, to the female, has to receive it, cherish it. She has to be loyal and devoted. If she doesn't cherish it, respect it, and value it, she might abort it. She might abort it. Or she might live in a reckless way and cause it to be aborted, or cause it to grow up with defects. But if the male and the female respect the life, then the life has protection. The great message is spoken through the female and the male. The female and the male is not the message. The message has to be interpreted out of the male and the female. So sex, man impregnates society with ideas. A man, when he gives up his mind, his soul, when he gives his first principle, offers his finest sentiment to a people to help them, isn't he impregnating his most precious seed in the womb of society? If the society cherishes that precious gift from that leader, they will become impregnated with the precious seed, and his fine principles, his fine concerns will grow to the heart and the mind and the interior of the society, and they will become impregnated with the life that was in his loins. And that life will grow and multiply on the earth. Is that right? That's the Immaculate Conception. Society formed of mind, not flesh. It doesn't have to touch flesh to produce life. Society is formed out of one mind. So if that mind gives itself to God, the people are formed in the right image until that leadership fails or turns away from God. So when that happens, then the right image is not there anymore. The people become the children of the bad image, that they become the image of the bad image. The Quran, Surah 67, Ayat 1, Allah's hand on creation. El Hadith, page 1, 307 to 100, Allah's hand on group. We will continue this next week. On Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Allah hand on group creation. Allah hand hold creation. Before we leave this evening, we want to ask everyone to make a prayer for our beloved Imam Musa Muslim Abuwe. He is the great grandson of the Honorable Booker T. Washington. He's in the hospital. We're asking the believers, and when I say believers, I mean in every religion. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't pray for somebody else because they are not of your religion. The Holy Quran says, Allah says, I hear the prayers of every supplicant that calls on me, and with a will let them hear my call so that they can walk in the right way. So don't let anybody tell you that you can't pray for somebody else because they are not of your religion. You can. And we are asking you to pray for our beloved brother to return back to good health and come back to his family and community. We thank Nuraqa for excellent Murad speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.